This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, Spirit, and Carta.
It's a good name.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know that, baby, if you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air on All Too Real 2. All Too Real 2, WKRP. Wait, that's not how it goes. I'm sorry.
Wait.
I am quoting the song. It's I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, WKRP.
Okay.
Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking. I used to sing the song all the time. I used to watch the reruns of WKRP in Cincinnati to go to sleep to as a little child.
Nice.
On Nick at Night or something. Yes. So today, folks, 'tis the season to be merry, but I'm going to stay Mike. And I don't change my name like Sesame does.
No.
We are going to start out with our slot of Christmas-themed episodes. This is what I'm going to call a frosty favorite, because we usually have frosty failures, and this one isn't bad. So it's a episode of the television series WKRP in Cincinnati, which, if you are not aware of, was an American sitcom that ran from 1978 until 1982 on CBS. Never had great ratings, but it had good reviews. It was a really good television series. I kind of feel like it was like a precursor in certain ways to News Radio, which also didn't have good ratings and was a good series that was a precursor to a lot of shows that came after that, I think. So yeah, most famous episode is one we're not covering today, but we might cover it in the future, is their Thanksgiving episode from season one. Today we are covering, and the basic premise of the show, by the way, too, I should probably get that out of the way, it's about a radio station, in a fictional radio station in Cincinnati called WKRP, hence the name WKRP in Cincinnati. That was a very clever name for it. Anyways, it's about a group of people running a radio station, basically running this rock radio station. The format changed. They brought in a new station manager played by Gary Sandy named Andy Travis in the first like season or something. And then, you know, basically you've got a group of, you know, crazy people. You got Howard Hessman as Dr. Johnny Fever, who's like a drugged out rock and roll DJ. You got Gordon Jump as Arthur Carlson, who's the station manager / owner. His mom really owns the station. Got Lonnie Anderson as Jennifer Marlowe, who is the secretary at the place, receptionist, whatever you want to call it. You got Tim Reed, the fabulous Tim Reed, as Venus Flytrap, who's another one of the DJs there. The resident African American character, they really play up the fact that he's an African American on the show.
Yeah,
they always do. Jan Smithers is Bailey Quarters, who is another. It's like a person that works in the news department at the station, along with Rich Sanders as Les Nessman, who is like an uptight kind of news guy. And then you've got Frank Bonner as Herb Tarlick, who is their the salesman for the station. He like sells advertising, and he's kind of a sleazeball. So yeah, that's your main cast of the show. The show did come back later on in 1991-93 in syndication as the new WKRP in Cincinnati, with some of the people returning. We may cover some of those episodes in the future, because I think that'd be interesting to cover. Some people came back, a lot of the people didn't, but you did have a few of the original cast members, and it was still about the station. So yeah, the episode that we are covering is called Jennifer's Home for Christmas. It aired as the 11th episode of the second season on December 17th of 1979, directed by Rob Daniel and written by Hugh Wilson, Dan Gunselman, and Steve Marshall. Okay, so initial thoughts here of this episode.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I liked it. That's all I got.
Me too. I liked it.
I mean, it's funny, I like it.
Very of its time, but it was actually kind of ahead of its time in certain ways, I think, too. So
yeah,
the humor of it was kind of, you know, slightly progressive humor in a lot of ways, too. So, which is good. Anyways, what happens in this episode here, Sesame?
Jennifer wants to have a Christmas party at the office, and everyone else is just looking for a way to get home. They're not really looking forward to Christmas. It's kind of like an obligation for them. You know, various people are going to different parts of the country. You know, one guy's going to Chicago, another guy's going to Dayton. For some reason, he thinks he needs to fly to Dayton.
I know.
Not sure why. And he planned his trip in advance from July so that he could fly to Dayton from Cincinnati. I don't know. Whatever.
I don't even know if he can do that. That's what I was
wondering. Yeah, I'm not even sure if that's even a thing you could do. But
it's like a 53-minute drive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So a plane ride would be like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's been more going to the airport.
I know.
And getting ready to fly than just driving. Mm-hmm. the whole place. And
I'm sure there was buses back then that would go from Dayton to Cincinnati.
You would think. But
Greyhound or something, you know.
Hell no, you would think. But who knows, this guy was very thorough. And yeah, Jennifer's the only one that's really looking forward to Christmas, you know, who's in the Christmas spirit. And so, you know, she was hoping that, you know, they would have like a long Christmas party, but everybody was just trying to force a Christmas party to end, you know, really fast, like trying to get people to eat all the cookies real fast. And oh, she got everyone gifts, and they were supposed to have a policy where there were going to be no gifts. So then everyone felt obligated to go pick up a random gift for people. So they were just like buying stupid shit that nobody really wants, you know.
It reminds me the other day at my work. I work at a place where I clean offices, and at our meeting at my manager said so last year we did Secret Santa. Does anybody want to do Secret Santa this year? Nobody raised their hand.
Wow.
I was like, what the heck? I wasn't going to be the first person to raise my hand if I wanted to, but I was just like, no. Nobody raised their hand. I'm like, it could be cool. It could be not cool. My main thing with it is I just started working there not too long ago. I kind of know people, but I don't know what to get people. And, you know, so if it was somewhere I'd been working for years, you know, maybe I would do it. But it's like, how do you, if you don't really know the people.
I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that, too, because, you know, I think it's unfortunate, you know, I don't know. It seems like people want to do that stuff less and less, and only like want to know the people they already know, kind of thing. Like, they don't really want to branch out at all. It seems like people are becoming more tribalistic like that, you know, like.
Well, it's like, I like the people I work with. And I mean, we have a meeting every night, a safety meeting where we talk about, I just think it's a kind of pointless meeting, honestly, but we have it every night. And I always try to make things funny, like answering funny answers to questions and stuff like that to make people laugh, because sometimes it's just dull. I mean, but my manager's pretty lively. She gets it, you know, gets people interested, but it's like, you know, like the other day, I know this is kind of a tangent, but the other day she said something like, you know, so are there any questions or concerns about that? And I said, I don't have any concerns about that, but I do have a lot of concerns about life. And everybody just looked at me weird, but I'm like, okay, whatever. She laughed at it.
Wow.
But yeah, that's just my sense of humor. But yeah, you know, it does seem like it. I think a lot of it has to do with money, though, too. People just don't want to spend extra money on people when they've got to buy for all their kids and family and stuff, you know. So yeah, but anyway, well, yeah, it makes sense. But yeah, I mean, but this is kind of like an early version of that where people are just like wanting to leave. And I guess, but in a certain way, though, they're kind of wanting to get home to their families and stuff. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. So what else happens here?
So one dude gave the, I don't know if he's like the manager of the place or whatever, thing of worms.
Oh, that was Herb, who is the, he gave the manager. He gave Mr. Carlson, who Gordon Jump plays. Herb is like also known as like a cheapskate. And the reason I think he said something about giving the worms, because they were basically, I think, a gift from an advertiser.
Oh, wow.
So like one of their main advertisers is like people that sell worms, probably for fishing and stuff. So
yeah. Wow.
Because he gave somebody else like thumbtacks.
That's right. Yeah. Like, thanks for the thumbtacks. The guy's like totally oblivious.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yeah, you're welcome, you're my best friend or whatever. And And yeah, you know, they're just trying to get out of it. And Jennifer gets offended because everyone wants to leave. And so they get the idea that maybe she was going to be alone for Christmas. And that's why, you know, she wanted everyone to stay alone at party. So then Venus ends up calling up
Johnny.
Yeah, calling up Johnny and telling him what's up or whatever. So then everybody shows up to her house and just brings a Christmas tree, basically.
Yeah.
And so she's got like, for some reason, she kept getting television sets. I don't know who was giving her TV sets.
She's known to be like, because she's so pretty, she dates a lot of guys.
Oh, okay.
And I think what they were getting at with the joke of that is that like, you know, these guys are just lavishing her with presents. So
okay.
So they just keep coming in. Like there's this delivery guy who keeps delivering shit. So
yeah, because she's like, got like a smaller TV and she's like, oh, I guess I'll have to put that one in the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
I just got all these TVs, and then, like, yeah, all the people from work show up, and they bring, you know, Christmas trees, and they're, like, they're teasing the one guy, because he didn't bring the Christmas tree, and they're like, oh, well, you have to bring a tree in order to stay, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, well, I guess I'll go out and get a tree then. They're like, okay, hold on, maybe we'll make an exception of one time, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, and that was Herb, who, like, he's kind of the sleazy guy, and,
yeah.
On the show, he always has a thing for Jennifer, and but he's married, so.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of that time, too, where it's just like, yeah. it's okay to be a sleaze if you're married, I guess, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 1970s, you know.
I can't remember if him and Jennifer ended up ever having a thing, or if it was just, you know, a one-sided type thing, so, yeah.
Yeah, and then what else happens?
A random guy comes, and I don't know if he's the Admiral or what, but all he does is speak in French.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, like, one of her boyfriends or something, and George Gaines plays that character, his name's Henri. He's George Gaines, you would know from the Police Academy movies and from Punky Brewster, among other things. So, yeah, he played George Watermount on Punky Brewster, and he was the Commandant Lassard in Police Academy movies. So, yeah, which is interesting. But he was also, I was reading on the trivia, married to the woman who played, I believe, Mrs. Carlson, Mr. Carlson's mom, so in real life. So,
okay.
Anyways, yeah. But yeah, he comes in and he's speaking all French to her, and she's just like looking at him and everything like that. And then, you know, he leaves and they're like, you know, didn't know you speak French. And she's like, I don't.
You know, she has to listen to this guy go on for like 2 straight minutes.
Yeah. I wonder what he was saying, because it would be interesting to have it translated.
Yeah, I think I recognize one of the words, but I don't remember what it was.
And I don't know if he's the Admiral or somebody else is, but she ends up, she's being flown to Bethlehem for Christmas, and she's taking
by some
guy named the Admiral or something, and his personal.
Who has a private jet, apparently, by all the way from Cincinnati to Bethlehem at a private jet.
Yeah.
Which, how long would that take? That's like a 20-hour flight probably or something. I mean,
I don't know.
You got to look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
You got to look it up. Okay. I'll talk while you're looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep our guests entertained. Interestingly enough, you know, there are no Christmas celebrations in Bethlehem right now for reasons I don't want to get into. But, you know, so good that she got to go to Bethlehem in 1979, though, so with the Admiral, whoever this Admiral is.
Yeah, it takes 1 day and 11 hours with connecting flights, I guess, to get there.
Okay, so.
Like the shortest one I can see right now is like a 23-hour flight, 23 hours and 51 minutes. So you're looking, that's just off the top 4 flights that they have listed here. I'm not going to look anymore. Yeah, but yeah, that's...
But man, can you just imagine, though, like, how insane travel has gotten, where you could literally go to Bethlehem from Cincinnati, Ohio, in a day. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that would take, like, you know, months in the past. The thing I'm trying to figure out is, like, are they actually letting people fly into there right now with what's going on in that region?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying that.
Because they've got flights listed. It's like a... It's weird. It's like a... It's like a $1,170 to fly there.
I guess. I mean,
yeah, I'm just like,
yeah, I don't know. But she got to go in 1979. That's nice. You know, the Palestinian Christians can't celebrate Christmas this year, though. But, you know,
yeah.
You know, anyway, not gonna, sorry, not gonna get into that.
No.
Nope, not allowed to, sorry.
Yes. So anyway, she's also taking some kids from an orphanage there to Bethlehem to celebrate Christmas, too.
That's
so.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Which is weird, again, why would you do a day travel to celebrate Christmas? I don't know, it just seems like it's a lot of traveling for kids. And
yeah, I know.
Gonna get ornery and fidgety.
And I mean, I know it's a good intention, but my thing is, it's like, is that really what kids in an orphanage want to do? Is fly all the way to Israel for a?
Yeah, to go to Bethlehem. I mean, I guess they're super religious. I guess.
Yeah.
Like, most kids just like Christmas because of like Santa Claus and the presents and stuff. You know, and you know Jesus is like a fun little afterthought. You know,
you could take him to the take him on a shopping spree to like a mall in Cincinnati or something. You know,
yeah, I mean, it's they're happy. You take them to church, at Christmas Eve. And you're like, oh, okay, it's fun. You know, whatever. You know, like 1 hour.
I mean, you could take them to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and they'd probably be just as happy.
Well, that would although according to our last year when we reviewed Saving Christmas or Kirk Cameron,
yeah,
Saving Christmas, apparently every little thing about Christmas has a hidden connection to ancient Christianity, even going to the candy canes and uh-huh. stuff like so that way you're justified in celebrating Christmas because apparently you wouldn't be allowed to unless every little thing about our Christmas can be somehow linked to original Christianity, going down to Santa Claus being Saint Nicholas, who committed a hate crime against one of his religious opponents, and that was celebrated in the movie as a good thing.
Yeah,
be sure
to listen to that episode if you haven't yet. You'll get more detail. It's interesting.
You get more details on them.
I don't recommend watching the movie though.
Well, yeah. Although maybe because the movie's really bad, so you might be more entertaining to listen to us talk about it.
I mean, there are some of the best dance sequences since Saturday Night Fever that I've ever seen. Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, come on.
Step Up has nothing on these dances.
No, it doesn't. It's pale, but just as pale as the most of the cast of that movie was. And
except for your token black guy.
Yeah, well, of course. Actually, no, they had two.
Oh, did they? Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
They had two this time. So
yeah.
Yeah. They met their quota, doubled it, and
they had more than this episode of WKRP.
Well, true. This is 1979. And that was the other thing too that reminded me, because like you said, that they kind of always bring it up like that he's like the one black guy there.
Yeah.
So he was the last person in the office because he was also working late.
Well, he dressed up as Santa too. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was singing "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas," but he couldn't say the word white.
Yeah.
He couldn't force himself to say it.
Yeah.
So he just skips over to the next line.
Yeah, he's kind of like it's kind of like I don't know if they say he is or anything, but they kind of like portray him as like a Black Panther sort of guy, sort of.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, yeah.
I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. I recommend looking into the history of Tim Reed, the actor who played him. He's had a very illustrious career. He's, people might know him from Sister, Sister. He played the dad on there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things, but he started out as a stand-up comic in a comedy duo with a white guy. I listened to, there was a really good interview with him on Mark Maron's podcast, WTF, from a couple years ago that I would recommend. He just seems like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. But yeah, he was in a comedy duo with Tom Dreesen, who is another famous stand-up comic, but like in the history of comedy, they were like the first like mixed raced comedy duo that like broke onto the stand-up comedy scene. So yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was like Tim and Tom. They wrote a book about it in 2008 that you can read called Tim and Tom, an American Comedy in Black and White.
Wow.
It's really interesting about the history of them, and about he's done a lot of stuff for like race relations and stuff over the years too, and he's just, I don't know, he seems like a really cool guy for like a 78 year old dude. So
yeah
anyways, that's just a little aside. Anything else to say about this episode? Because we end up finding out, at the end of the episode, Herb gets a kiss from Jennifer because he had mistletoe with him, and she breaks down and gives him a kiss at the end,
and
yeah.
Knowing that he's married.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
So we're committing light adultery right before going to Bethlehem to celebrate Christmas.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mary was an adulteress, you know, because she had a kid with God, you know, and she was married to Joseph. I mean, come on. I'm joking.
Yeah, but it was
joking.
Wasn't stabbed and have sex with Mary.
I know.
Come on. Come on. Story right. And, well, I'm sorry. That's one thing that does piss me off. So
yeah.
I'm not like a super defender of like religious doctrine, but like I don't like it when people intentionally misrepresent that just actually teaches. Like I get this. I see this a lot from like.
Yeah, no, I was just trying to be funny.
I see it a lot from like atheist crowds where they like go like, ooh, God had sex with a teenage Mary. And it's like, no, it's not what the doctrine says.
No.
You make it sound stupid on purpose, like
yeah, it's so nitpicky. I mean, and the thing is you can take the Bible and make it say whatever you want it to say, anyway. So it's like, you know,
yeah,
for good or bad intentions, or just, you know, authoritative intentions where you feel like you have to have control over a woman's body or gay people, but yeah,
or over, you know, a territory of land, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so
yeah.
Gonna get in trouble here, sorry.
I don't care. Anyways, come at me, folks, come at me. I'm sorry for speaking up for the rights of human beings.
No, can't do it.
No. The fact that I think gay and trans people should have rights and women should have bodily autonomy and
Bad boy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so yeah. Anyways, 'tis the season to be merry.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want to call yourself, because I'm fine with being trans or anything. I'm sorry. That was bad. So.
Trans Mary.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, any other thoughts here on this episode?
No, it was pretty straightforward. There wasn't a whole lot to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's your typical Christmas episode of a sitcom in the 70s, you know? So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I like the show in general. I wish it was streaming somewhere. We can't find it streaming anywhere.
Yeah.
So
sucks.
We found this on YouTube, this episode. So, but yeah, if you do know where it's streaming anywhere, anybody, let us know and, you know, send me a message at mike@cullenpark.com and let us know where we can find it so we can watch more episodes of the show. There has been, I know, a history of the show not being available for streaming and DVD due to music rights issues. Because when it aired, they did play a lot of current, you know, rock hits and stuff in the show. So it kind of hurt things because, you know, it's a rock radio station. So you would, you know, be playing like Led Zeppelin or whatever. And then, you know, now, you know, 50 years later, it's kind of hard to get the rights to that song or something, you know? So,
yeah, see, that was before they anticipated stuff like, you know, royalties based on whether a song, you know, that's aired on TV.
Yeah. They would pay them then. Like it would have, you know, like you'd have the rights to play it like when it aired. And I think maybe a few times in reruns. But after that, you kind of had to renegotiate things. And
yeah,
a lot of people don't want to do that. And nobody ever anticipated DVDs or streaming, you know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you got issues with like Wonder Years and other TV shows as well. And you've got like most of the music replaced on Dawson's Creek on DVD and a lot on streaming too.
It feels like a different show watching Dawson's Creek with the song that they put over the original song.
Oh, you mean the theme song?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Like... They've now updated it on a lot of streaming platforms. Paula Cole re-recorded the song because the problem with it is she didn't own the, it's much like with Taylor Swift has issues where she doesn't own the masters to the original recording.
Oh, okay.
So Paula Cole still owned the song. She just didn't own the recording of the song.
Okay.
So she re-recorded it almost exactly just so they could put it back on the Dawson's Creek things.
Okay.
You know, like 20 or 30 years after she originally recorded.
Well, yeah.
So yeah, it's so like I think now like when you watch it streaming on Max or wherever it's streaming, you can hear the song again, but it's a re-recording of it. But the songs within the episodes, though, like a lot of the songs, because they had a lot of hit songs of the day on that show too, have been replaced with like sound-alike songs or, you know, or songs that are similar in style. There used to be a website. I would watch the new versions of it, and there was a website that would tell you what the original song was and what it was replaced with. So
yeah. See, that kind of takes away a little bit, though, from the show, though, because, you know, the song they picked, or that's what that was meant to be playing, you know?
Yeah, so. well, but they did do, I think, a good job on certain shows, like especially Dawson's Creek with the Replacements, because they had the original music supervisor come back and pick songs that they felt fit very well, a lot of them from similar artists or newer artists, and they tried to keep what they could. So it's not as bad as some shows where they just completely replace it with like generic elevator music or something, you know?
Yeah.
So, these are at least pop songs that replace pop songs. Yeah.
Exactly. Because the song that they replaced with the Dawson's Creek, that was pretty good too.
Yeah, it was decent. That was actually the European theme song. For some odd reason, when it originally aired, they didn't have the Paula Cole song in in Europe. So yeah. Anyways, that's a little aside here on Dawson's Creek that has nothing to do with WKRP, but if you want us to cover like maybe an episode of Dawson's Creek in the future, I'd be more than happy because it's one of my favorite shows of all time. So,
I haven't watched that in like, I think in 3 years during COVID, I kind of binged it too. And,
I would binge it every few years. I have all the seasons on DVD. So, even if it's not streaming anywhere, I can always watch it. So.
Yeah. Good physical media, so they can't take it from you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Folks, hope you're enjoying this festive holiday season, despite, you know, all the shit going on in the world. But if you're feeling generous this season, we do have links to some charities that you can help donate to that'll help out people that are suffering in the world at the moment and different capacities, you know. So we've been putting up charities on there for a while, and I hope people notice that I've been doing it ever since COVID. So, you know, just different things that'll help people, because we can always use help. Also, if you want to help support us, which, you know, is I think a lesser thing to help, but, you know, it does help us out to continue to still produce this show, we do have a TeePublic where you can get some merchandise, you know, nice Christmas gifts for people, you know, even if they come late, you know, you can get some nice gifts for yourself even, you know, thinking, hey, I need a new sweatshirt or t-shirt or mug or whatever, you know, with our logo on it. And then everybody will ask you, what's that? And you'll be like, it's my favorite podcast, because it is, right? And be sure to, you know, check out those. And we also have a Patreon. You can help support the show that way. Also, you know, just check us out on all the social media and everywhere you can find the show, and share it with your friends. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or wherever you can review the show. But besides that, folks, you know, just remember to be Mary and Bright. Make sure you legally change your names to Mary and Bright.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'll go do that right after the show. And remember that I love you. Sesame loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.